Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 19th year. This podcast is sponsored by ICE Barcelona, January 20th through 22nd, 2025, at the Fira Barcelona Gran Via. ICE Barcelona is the complete platform to drive revenues through innovative solutions, technology, valuable insights, and unrivaled networking opportunities. To learn more, visit icegaming.com.
My guest today is Cynthia Hallett. He is president and CEO of the American Non-Smokers Rights Alliance. Thanks for joining us. You're fresh from your session here at G2E about non-smoking. This is, the second year they've allowed you in the front door rather than you having to be outside chanting, right?
Right, or having an exhibit hall booth,
exactly,
which we've done for a number of years.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was because of an exhibit hall booth that we met Brian Christopher, who came by and said hello.
Right.
But yes, this is the second year in a row that the American Gaming Association has had a panel on non-smoking casino initiatives.
Right.
And we're grateful for that because, again, we've always just wanted to be able to have a dialogue,
Sure. Learn
from the industry, and then also share with the industry what we're learning and hearing
individuals. And you had a great panel. But you mentioned Brian Christopher,
yes.
The slot influencer. We did a podcast with him several months ago, and he's definitely colorful. He's got a lot of opinions for sure on non-smoking. And you also had two people, one from the Potawatomi tribe in Wisconsin, and one from Foxwoods, both non-smoking casinos.
That's right. Part of what we wanted to share this time, it wasn't a lecture about the health effects of secondhand smoke or the wonderful data that we now have looking at the economic benefits of smoke-free casinos,
Sure. But
really for the audience to hear from properties that had gone smoke-free. So both our sovereign tribal nations,
right.
We had Brian Hayes from Foxwoods in Connecticut and Tanisha Williams with the Potawatomi in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and also a smaller property upstate, I think.
Yes.
Who both went smoke-free as a result of the pandemic. So it was sort of this natural experiment where they were required to go smoke-free. And so clearly they both had the opportunity to permit smoking again on the entire gaming floor. And based on employee feedback and player feedback, they decided not to.
Right.
And today it was interesting, both talked about, you know, surveying their players. For Potawatomi, it was a new endeavor, and for Foxwood, they do that more regularly. But, you know, despite being from the East Coast and the Midwest, shocker, the results were basically the same.
Yeah.
That you have upwards of 70-75% support.
Right.
They surveyed both smoking and non-smoking players, and they surveyed their employees who basically 90% preferred to work
in
a smoke-free environment.
Exactly, yep. Well, as you know, I was a dealer in Atlantic City back in the late 70s, and I had smoke blown in my face many, many times, and so that's why I'm so passionate about stopping it for the current casino employees. But so tell me what was the experience on each of those properties in terms of, did they lose any of their big players?
That was really interesting because we frequently will hear from the industry all the reasons why they can't go smoke-free, because, and it's based on perception.
Right.
Well, all of our gamblers smoke, and that's not the case. If we go smoke-free, we're going to lose our big whales, and that wasn't the case. It was one of them, I won't reveal which one, but one of them was sharing that there was, I guess, a frequent communicator who sort of has complaints or suggestions along the way, who threatened to not come back, and it was sort of this veiled attempt. It was, you know, they definitely came back because they love that property, they love to play and gamble, and, you know, they adapted. And so both of the properties have created outdoor smoking areas for those players who need to go outside and smoke to be able to do that. And they can play some limited games. I think it's just slots.
Right.
And that's what properties have been doing since Colorado went smoke-free. You know, there's frequently this complaint that, like, well, given the weather, we can't. And I think the industry has come up with a lot of excuses why they can't, and they're not necessarily looking at other states that have legislated the commercial casinos to be smoke-free, or these sovereign tribal nations that have voluntarily gone smoke-free, for lessons learned. Because there's so many good lessons. You don't have to take it from me.
Right.
Learn from these other properties.
Well, I had a friend who ran a property in Ohio, which is all non-smoking. But he built a pavilion outside of his casino, and it really wasn't, you know, outside. There's walls around it, and there's only on top of the wall, there's a a space for that's open. In Ohio, it's pretty cold, but he said that the players who wanted to smoke played out there, and those who didn't want to smoke played inside.
Right. You know, we're at the Global Gaming Expo. It's all about industry innovations and new trends and everything. And I think that there should be more conversations about how to build these outdoor smoking patios. I mean, we've heard from architects who have presented at these types of gaming meetings about how to design it for airflow, because you want it to be outdoor, open air, to the extent that you're not going to get rain on the machine or snow or get heat stroke.
Right.
So, you know,
here in LA, Vegas, that's what you're
exactly. But, you know, there are so many sort of technologies and innovations.
Sure.
So I really just, you know, I challenge the industry to start looking at the positive results, to look at the unbiased data done by like C3 Gaming, which is that Las Vegas-based, you know, consortium of researchers who works for the industry and had found that, you know, the casinos that went smoke-free were doing just as well, if not better, than those who still had smoking.
Right.
It's time to make that change. The workers deserve a safe and healthy workplace.
Right.
And player demand, only 11% of the U.S. adult population smokes these days, and about 5 to 7% are vaping e-cigarettes. You know, both create indoor air pollution, and it's a shrinking population.
Right.
So it's time to start catering to the non-smoking.
I mean, we've got the CDC report that says only 11% of Americans now smoke.
That's
a vast majority that do not smoke.
Yeah. And interestingly, there was an August 2024 Gallup poll. I can't remember what the number of people that they surveyed, but again, very similar current results about preference for smoke-free, how few people were smoking or vaping, and just that. Also, the support for policymakers who support smoke-free.
Right, right.
So I think, again, the writing's on the wall. And again, if the casino industry would get on board, we could have smoke-free casinos for everyone tomorrow.
Right, right. But their argument is, well, we have these wonderful ventilation systems, super ventilation systems, but we've proven that doesn't work. Right?
That's a huge investment for something that is inadequate in terms of protecting worker and player health and safety.
Right. And they think it's advanced technology, and it is probably, but you know, why, if it really doesn't change this secondhand smoke in the air, why even bother doing it?
Right. And even ASHRAE, the American Society of Heating, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioning Engineers, who set the international standard for acceptable indoor air quality, said we can't ventilate to a level where the particulate matter, the gases and toxins are low enough to be safe, because there is no safe level of exposure to secondhand smoke. So their standard is based on a smoke-free, vape-free environment for tobacco and marijuana.
Right. Well, the Foxwoods gentleman also pointed out that their cleaning fees went way down because they didn't have some burn holes in the chairs or on the tables or on the carpet down there, and of course it's easier to clean when there's not cigarette smoke in the air.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've heard way back when I first started coming to G2E in like 2009, there was a blackjack dealer who's like, I can't tell you, every time the felt on the table gets a cigarette burn, they have to remove it.
Right, yeah.
And so, and it's furniture, drapes, carpeting, everything.
Yeah.
So again, I think for having properties or just the industry, think about what's the cost of keeping smoking in your casino.
Right.
And also the other economic benefits. Again, Parks Casino from Pennsylvania was here on that panel last year at G2E, and they talked about a 40% rebate from their health insurance company because they had fewer claims, and that the risk was lower because they were no longer being exposed to a carcinogen.
Well, I think another point that was made recently by Richard Schutz in the industry, he's been a proponent for non-smoking. He pointed out that during September, which was Responsible Gaming Education Month, that this goes against what casinos always say, that, oh, we care about our players, you know, let them take a break whenever they want, you know, but then when it comes to smoking, they're going to get up and leave the table. Well, it's kind of hypocritical.
Yeah, going smoke-free has a lot of benefits, not just health or Brian Hayes from Foxwoods was saying, you know, you can't evaluate the people who aren't coming in because they can't be in the smoky environments. Although by doing their player survey, when they went smoke-free, some of the responses were, you know, we couldn't come because my mom has COPD, but now that you're smoke-free, we can come in.
Right.
So again, you are going to have more people coming back into the property. But also with the responsible gaming, I mean, it's a win-win-win. If in fact we are truly committed to breaking that cycle of gambling addiction, and for those gamblers who do smoke, because not all gamblers smoke, but for those gamblers who do smoke, giving them or having them have to take a break for a cigarette,
right.
And that'll potentially break the cycle if they've been sitting there for a couple of hours.
Right. So last year you brought the dealers from Atlantic City out to form the CEASE organization, which is a great organization there. And I always say how brave these people are, because there could have been repercussions, and thankfully there weren't. But these people, you know, really cared about their health, cared about their employees' health, they cared about their children too.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, there's now a Kids of CEASE video that you can find on YouTube, where really when you hear those stories from whether they're the children or even grandparents talking about how worried they are about their loved ones who are working in the casino, which, by the way, great jobs.
Yeah.
People who work in casinos are personalities. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of responsibility. They got to protect that money and play the game right on the tables. This is an important job. And they love it. They love interacting with the public.
Sure.
But, you know, almost 99% of them say, love the job, hate the smell.
Right, yeah.
So, and it is true. There were some Las Vegas casino workers, dealers, who spoke out and ended up suffering those repercussions.
Yeah.
And so I think now, though, there is, you know, strength in numbers. And so, again, in Atlantic City, it's a lot of the dealers all from one casino.
Right.
And then the casino basically has said, you know, it's your right to organize.
Right.
And speaking of organizing, we are really thrilled to be working with UAW, not only in New Jersey, but, you know, also in Las Vegas and other places, and all the way up to the top. I mean, John Fain being supportive of the smoke-free protections for their workers.
Right.
So I think that you've got public support, you've got employee support, we've got some unions behind us. It is a shame that other unions are sort of, you know, believing the misinformation that's being touted. There is so much data out there that refutes this false claim that you're going to lose business and these poor people aren't going to get their tips. Because we heard the same thing when restaurants went smoke-free.
Sure,
we heard
exactly
the same
right.
thing about bars.
Yeah.
Yes, casinos are special, but the human behavior is very similar. And so if you build it smoke-free, they will come.
Yeah, and they're relying on a study that's over 10 years old now, and that may have been sourced in a
Yeah, and for better or worse, COVID really changed public perception and demand for safety.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, something that is easily removed. It actually costs a lot less to clean up your room, change the filters, and go smoke-free than it is to try to, you know, ventilate and throw in the air fresheners and everything else to mitigate.
Right. So today you released this study that you did with Brian Christopher, which I think almost everything is 80 or 90% in favor of the smoking ban. But, you know, the casinos are still not responding. I mean, I applaud you for putting this panel on, but the anti smoking ban people won't come on the panel because they have nothing to argue. You know?
True. I mean, you know, I welcome a healthy debate.
Right.
I think that part of the issue is we do need to have a dialogue. It is a shame that, you know, we've had legislative support and then industry of one sort or another, whether it's tobacco or casino, will come in. And, you know, I mean, lobbying has influence.
Right.
And so hopefully we will win the day with the truth and the public demand. But it is shameful that the industry is again sort of touting misinformation.
Sure.
And so for some of these places, they are surrounded. Like it used to be, again, 10, 20 years ago, was the regional competition or competition with tribes. Well, many tribes have voluntarily, through their own sovereign policymaking, gone smoke-free.
Sure.
And many other places around them have gone smoke-free. So, you know, again, I mean, sorry, but New Jersey, you could be a leader.
Right.
And Pennsylvania will likely follow, and Rhode Island.
Right.
Or they're going to go first, and you're going to have to follow.
Right. So where are we in New Jersey now? I just read, you know, Governor Murphy kind of went back on his promise to sign it if it comes to his desk. And and again, they're quoting this old study that it is false, and, you know, when you can compare it to new things that are going on. And it's the UAW that's suing the state, correct?
That's correct, yes. So, you know, we're trying to focus this or, you know, attack this from a couple of different angles. So we're doing our grassroots organizing, we're doing the lobbying. Unfortunately, there's now been this legal strategy that's been used, and UAW, along with CEASE, the casino workers, filed the lawsuit against the state. And then we're even engaging in shareholder engagement, shareholder advocacy. And
yeah,
so,
I think that's great.
A&R Foundation, with some of our other partners, we had three shareholder resolutions with Caesars, Bally's, and Boyd. just asking them to evaluate
going
smoke-free. And while we didn't quote-unquote win, because it was our first time to file that resolution, we had, you know, 20 to 22% support, depending on which company it was, which is very good for the first effort.
Sure. Right.
And it means we can bring it back. And again, so we're kind of dealing with it or addressing it at different levels, because there are different players at every level.
Sure, right.
But at the end of the day, I mean, I think we're going to have to fight this with legislation or, you know, a lawsuit,
for sure.
Which is a shame.
So,
because it's quicker and easier to just make the decision to go smoke free for a casino.
Right, right.
And then you'll have parity across all of those Atlantic City casinos. And, you know, with New York expanding and putting in more casinos, not just slot rooms, Atlantic City is going to be hard pressed. They're going to lose business to New York.
So here in Nevada, you know, there's probably the last state that will go to a non-smoking. But there's a property here on the Strip that's non-smoking, Park MGM, and now MGM can evaluate, you know, how much business they lost or didn't lose, how much savings they had, you know, having to clean the tabletops and things of that nature. Do you think it's ever going to happen here in Nevada?
It will. Interestingly, we had a public opinion poll conducted, and we found that 60% of Nevada voters support 100% smoke-free casinos and support, again, policymakers who will support strong public health rules like that. So I think that we do have the public support, and whether or not the companies will listen.
Right.
You know, it's very difficult. For the longest time, again, going back to the table games dealer who ended up losing her job, you know, the casinos have very high-powered lawyers, and so it will be a challenge. But, you know, the way we got the smoke-free protections that we do have in Nevada was going through a ballot initiative.
Right.
It's also an expensive endeavor. You know, this really, this should be a decision made by the legislature because it's the right thing to do. But if we have to, we'll take it to a public vote, and we'll see. Now, what ends up happening is both the tobacco and casino industry will pay a lot of money or run a competing ballot initiative, which is what they did also. But again, we won the day, so I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, but you're not going to get the support of the Culinary Union, which is the cousin of the union in Atlantic City.
Correct.
Local 54.
Mm-hmm.
Who's not supporting the you know, non-smoking bill, which is silly, I think.
It's a little disingenuous because, for the most part, even though those sort of restaurant workers in the Department of Culinary, so the restaurant is no smoking, however, right off the gaming floor, you're probably getting still exposure. Certainly, indoor air quality studies demonstrate that even in the non-smoking area, you're still getting exposure.
Yes.
But, you know, it's like they don't have to have people, you know, 3 feet away from them blowing smoke in their face.
Yeah.
So, but I understand where the employees themselves are coming from, because when their union says, you know, we're going to lose business and we're going to have to cut back your hours and you're going to lose tips, that's their job. That's their livelihood, and they should not be threatened with that.
Right.
And so it's the, you know, union leadership that needs to stop towing the line of those, you know, the Casino Association of New Jersey in particular, who has just been disingenuous and kind of dirty.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us today, and thanks for presenting this to the industry. I think if people start to realize the facts and you know what it won't do their casinos, and what it will do positively to their casinos, I think you got a winning argument.
Well, I appreciate that, and I hope that's true. You know, for a long time, the industry, I felt, didn't want to ask those questions.
Right.
So now that we're beginning to have more individual properties do these ask these types of questions of their players, you know, I think that we'll start to see some change.
Right. Well, Cynthia, thanks for joining us, and we will stay in touch and continue to support your efforts.
Appreciate that. Thanks, Roger.
Hope you enjoyed today's podcast sponsored by ICE Barcelona, January 20th through 22nd, 2025 at Fira Barcelona Gran Via. ICE Barcelona is the complete platform to drive revenues through innovative solutions, technology, valuable insights, and unrivaled networking opportunities. To learn more, visit icegaming.com. To read more about the topic presented in this week's podcast, visit ggbmagazine.com. To subscribe to GGB's executive summary, go to ggbnews.com and sign up. Don't miss any edition of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Spotify, Amazon, or Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.